This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.
You're listening to Redefining the Counterculture. We're here live with Harry Locke. Harry is a director. His newest film is amazing. It's full of action, adventure, blood, gore. I mean, it's got it all. It's called The City of Gold, and Harry is with us here to talk about it. Welcome, Harry. How are you?
I'm doing great, my friend. Thank you. Thank you for letting me come on your show and talk about the new film.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Man, I love this film. Like, the poster itself drew me into it. And,
awesome.
And then when I saw it, I was like, holy crap, this is awesome. It's got Vernon Wells, who, for people that don't know, Vernon Wells is like, he's like an 80s action / sci-fi star. You know him from mm-hmm. Mad Max, Commando, Weird Science. I think he was in one of the RoboCops. He's really awesome, and he's in this film. This film is amazing. It's just like your other work. You've done work on The Wolverine, Gotham, X-Men Days of Futures Past.
Yeah, I've been fortunate to see a lot of big studio comic book movies kind of come together. And
yeah.
Growing up, loving that kind of stuff, it's kind of like a dream come true to actually have a hand in making those things materialize. You know, it's been some really awesome experiences. And you kind of see all those things culminate into when I got the opportunity to direct this movie.
Absolutely, absolutely. So tell me about the film. Like, when did you first, I guess, become aware of it, and what was it that led you to this project?
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's a little bit of my, again, going back to those comic book movie background that kind of led me to The City of Gold. Prior to actually coming on to direct this movie, I was going to USC Film School, and I did a short film while I was there, which was actually a fan film for John Constantine, that famous, you know, DC comic book character. And the actor that I casted for that was a talented guy named Robbie Allen. Robbie and I did that short, and that went online and had some moderate success. And Robbie actually knew Ronald Blum, who was the writer of The City of Gold. And Ron had actually written this script like 20 years ago and, you know, had talked to a bunch of different production companies, but was at a point now where he wanted to actually get his hands dirty. He actually wanted to, you know, be involved with the actual production of this, of making City of Gold a feature. And Robbie showed Ron the short that we did. He showed him the John Constantine short, and he loved it. And he was like, you know, this is kind of a similar style of what I'm looking to do with this movie. And so he's like, you know, would you guys be interested in helping me bring this from script to screen? And, you know, here I am, a 25-year-old about to graduate from film school. And like most people graduating from college, like, you don't know what you're going to be doing. And you got a guy here saying, hey, let's go make a feature film, an action adventure, you know, film. And it's like, how can you possibly say no to that? And at that time, Vernon Wells was already attached to the script because him and Ron had been friends for years. So I already knew my antagonist in this film was going to be, you know, an action legend. So everything was just kind of there for me to come on board and say, okay, let's make this the coolest movie we can possibly make it.
Absolutely, absolutely. What was the filming process like? Was it particularly arduous, or did everything come together relatively smoothly after you got the ball rolling?
Yeah, everything actually got together pretty fast. I mean, I met Ron in April. That was April of 2014, and then when we were shooting in Hawaii in October, and things moved pretty quickly. One of my gigs that I had gotten out of college, in between trying to do pre-production on this movie, was I actually got hired as an editing professor for a brand new film program that had just opened up in LA, and they actually ended up sending me to Maui to teach a week-long editing intensive with Premiere Pro. And while I was there, I actually met the film commissioner, Tracy Bennett, and we did a quick little Starbucks coffee meetup, and I told him, hey, I got this movie that I'm directing. It's this jungle adventure movie. And, you know, at that point in time, we weren't quite sure where we were going to shoot it at. We were still trying to figure out if we could do it in L.A. And Tracy's like, hey, you know, look around you. We've got jungle all around you. You know, Hawaii is really trying to up the ante, especially with indie film production. He's like, you should bring your movie out here. You know, I hopped on the phone with Ron right away, and he was like, yeah, you know, that's definitely the move to make. And from that point forward, we just kind of moved forward with pre-production. Branson Richmond got involved. He's also one of our producers, and he lived on Maui. And he got involved and kind of helped us get everything organized. And very quickly, before I knew it, I mean, we were casting. You know, I was working with my crew guys and doing all the pre-production prep. And pretty much like 6 months later, after all that stuff happened, we were, you know, boots on the ground in Maui, and we were shooting the movie.
Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. I wanted to ask you, you know, what was your favorite part about the film, you know, just in terms of, like, making it? Because I know, like, everybody's got, like, those favorite moments, you know, that we see sometimes on camera, but a lot of times they happen off camera. Do you have a part that just really, really stood out to you that just really makes the film that much more memorable?
Yeah, you know, there's two things to me that really stand out. You know, one was one of the characters in the movie, you know, plays this rebel leader. He's one of the villains in the film, and that role was played by Walter Benazek. And Walter Benazek is a guy who's been my best friend from in childhood for almost 23 years. And when I first started doing films, it was me, him, and another one of our friends, and we were running around making these, like, you know, these little low-budget movies with an old Canon GL1 where we're pretending to be hitmen of a secret society and making these fun little action movies. And it's like, you know, it's funny because you're trying to play like a character who's 40 and you're like 15. So, you know, it's almost like you're making brick but without the ingenuity, you know. So it's like that's kind of how we started. And it was pretty fun to, like, you know, we kind of looked at where we were. It's like, okay, dude, remember when we started doing this? And it was like, you know, us just pretending. And now here we are. We're in Maui. We're with these actors we grew up watching, Chris Atkins, Branscombe Richmond, Vernon Wells. You know, they're part of this fun we're having. It was kind of this surreal moment for the two of us. And it was really cool to have him there. You know, someone who's really seen me from day one with this thing be at this level now was kind of like a surreal moment for the both of us. So that one really sticks out in my mind. And then the second one is really interesting. It's, you know, I know most of the viewers haven't seen the movie yet, but there's a really kind of heart-to-heart moment in the movie where our lead actor, Robbie Allen, and our lead actress, Riley Danny, are kind of having this heart-to-heart moment before all the action kind of goes haywire, and it's the lead character really talking about how he misses his father. And the year we shot that movie was really interesting for me because I had actually lost my own dad a few months prior to us actually shooting the movie. And so that was one of the things I was kind of dealing with, you know, the pre-production process was, okay, you know, also going kind of through my own grieving while moving forward with the movie. And I'll never forget, we were doing that scene, and I took the actors aside and, you know, I kind of gave them a little bit of my own space, you know, of like what it felt like to me to lose my father. And you could just see they kind of soaked in that story and just soaked in that information. And, you know, that scene's not even really scripted. In the original script, and I just said, you know, you just take this information and do with it, you know, as you please. And the scene that they built between the two of them was amazing to watch. It was really beautiful. And even some of the crew guys that were part of that process was like, wow, that was a really, really awesome thing to see come together. So those things kind of stick out the most in my mind when we shot the films.
Man, right on, right on. What is it that, this is probably kind of an asinine question, but, you know, what is it that just really, really draws you to filmmaking and that just really, because when I listen to you talk and also when the films that I've seen that you've done, I can tell your passion and your enthusiasm for filmmaking. This is something that, you know, is your life's calling. What is it
right.
that initially drew you to the craft and that just kind of keeps you with it?
You know, it's funny when I was a young child, you know, my parents really, you know, they didn't really have a background in arts. My dad was a lab technician and he worked at a steel mill and my mother was a nurse. But they both had these qualities about them, writing, great communication, kind of artistic sensibilities, that really kind of helped push me towards the arts at a young age. And so, you know, I was involved with band and I was involved with theater and I was, you know, picking up things like graphic design and I was writing short stories. And once I kind of got to high school and kind of access to video equipment became capable, I was like, wow, you know, this video thing is kind of like a synthesis of all these things. You know, it's all these things coming together in one particular medium. And when all those things click, when the music is right, when the writing is good, when the acting is good, you know, that's when you get a good film. And I really kind of like that it let me dabble in all the things that I kind of grew up loving, all those little building blocks, and it just kind of came together, culminates with film. And that's why I kind of just, I love it so much. It keeps me in touch with all those different artistic roots. And then, of course, the biggest part about it is the collaboration. You know, I've been blessed to really work with some really talented individuals, and I love the fact that it's like a team sport. You know, you surround yourself with people who, you know more than you do, and you kind of elevate to the level, and the movies, the projects, elevate to the level of kind of like the creative DNA of all those involved, and it's just really an awesome experience.
Absolutely, absolutely. What's the biggest takeaway that you want people to get from the work that you do? I mean, this is, I mean, when I look at this film that you just did, man, I know, you know, by the Academy standards, you know, it may not get nominated or whatever, but
right.
I love it, man. And I think that it's amazing when you can do what you really, really love and share it with the world.
Yeah.
What is it? What's the message that you want to leave for people when they see the work that you've done?
Yeah, I think you kind of hit a little bit on the head right there, is that, you know, especially in today's day and age, if you have a dream and you want to do something, you just, it's the only thing stopping you is you, you know, especially with the way the whole digital revolution has kind of just opened up the game. You know, I talk to these people and it's like, okay, well, I really want to do a feature, or I really want to make this movie, but I've got, you know, X, Y, and Z stopping me. And I'm like, you know, that's just you putting those obstacles in your way. There's so many different options and outlets to now go make your movie, go get your story told, that there's really, really, that you can go out and without sounding too cliche, I mean, you can really do whatever you set your mind to. You know, when I first got sent the script for the movie, and it was very ambitious. It was a very ambitious project. And, you know, without going into any of the numbers, it was like, okay, I know I'm not going to have, like, you know, Indiana Jones budget to go get this done, you know, but it's like, I'm not going to be scared of it. It's like, what can we do? What can we do to make this work with what we have? And so, you know, a lot of it was just being resilient and just thinking of out-of-the-box solutions to get things finished. You know, I would have loved to go and shoot a huge Spanish Inquisition Armada scene. Didn't have the budget for that. But what I did have was access to a great animator in Bo Brokop. And I was like, you know, can we inject some animation sequences into that to give the film the scope that it would have if I had a traditional studio budget to go shoot it? And he's like, you know, absolutely. And so I worked with him on coming up with these great animation sequences, and it was just a way of dancing around what would have been an obstacle and turned it into a creative plus. So I think, you know, if anybody looks at this movie, especially filmmakers, I think filmmakers are a really great, corner to look at this movie, and not even just based on the content, not even just based on whatever you think of the story, but just the actual technical things of making the movie. You know, we did a lot of outside the box thinking to make this movie look as polished as what it is. And if we can do it, then it definitely means other people can do it. And they should just definitely take that lesson away from it, is just get out there and start creating stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Harry, I love it. Where can our listening audience find out more about you and kind of keep abreast of your upcoming projects?
Yes, I have a personal website, harrylock4.com is my personal website. I'm also on Instagram as SoCal_Hal. And, you know, I love hearing from people. You know, any other questions they've got regarding the movie. I'm actually in pre-production right now on a brand new film. This one's a Western called The Redeemer, and we're actually going to be shooting that in 14 days up in the Sierra Nevada Mountains up in California. And my wife's a producer on that, and another longtime collaborator of mine. And actually, Robbie, who is the lead in City of Goat, is actually playing the lead in this one as well. So we're already got the ball rolling on the next one. So if they follow that website, they'll see all the new development of that movie as well.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I wanted to, to ask you, for our listening audience, City of Gold, is there, I know it's, when will it be available for video on demand?
It'll be video on demand on December 4th, and that's going to be Amazon, iTunes, Xbox, Google Play, and I think a whole slew of other cable options. And then on New Year's Day, 2019, it will be out on DVD for anyone who wants to get a physical copy, and that is going to be in most major retailers as well as Redbox.
I love it. I love it. Harry, thank you so much. I'm all the questions, but just wanted to open the floor if there's anything else you'd like to say to our listening audience.
I appreciate you having me on the show. And, you know, anyone who goes out and sees the film, I really hope, you know, they have a great, enjoyable time watching the movie. But, you know, as we spoke about earlier, I really also hope it inspires them to kind of go out and follow their creative endeavors and, you know, just creates a whole new generation of filmmakers who go out and make these kind of ambitious projects and just kind of keeps the industry turning along.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love it, Harry. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Walter. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Guys, that was our exclusive interview with Harry Locke, the fourth. I got that wrong first. We're going to put this, for those of you that missed us live, we're going to put this on SoundCloud. It'll also be available in iTunes under podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and last but not least, of course, YouTube. You can search for us. We're just Witten Radio on all those platforms. And if you have a Roku player or Roku smart television, you can watch this interview in the privacy of your own home. We have over 200-plus hours of original content, programming, and interviews, all free of charge. From the Roku Channel Store, just search for our name, download the app, and you can begin streaming all free of charge. We've got some news from the Associated Press coming up, so stick around with us.
The Punisher, a firearm-wielding vigilante, was pulled from New York Comic Con by Marvel and Netflix, something Steve Harsh, who's been attending for years, understands.
I do kind of agree with that, out of respect for the victims and for the situation.
But another attendee, Leo Lawrence, says the Punisher didn't cause the Vegas shooting.
That's only punishing the fans, and it's only letting the idiot that did it win.
Punisher or not, security here is tight, with the NYPD's heavily armed anti-terrorism unit standing guard. At the Jacob Javits Convention Center in Manhattan, I'm Julie Walker.